Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today we're going to be talking about Eve. Keep it in line with the theme of the Queen. So let's begin. We're coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It reads, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." Now, this is very important, and it's the New Testament gives us a glimpse behind the veil. Because when you read the story in the Old Testament, we know the conversation the serpent had with Eve. And we're not quite sure if Adam was standing there the whole time. It doesn't really look like it. All it says that after the serpent beguiled her, that she gave also to her husband. But there's really no mention of where Adam entered the scenario, okay? But 2 Timothy chapter 2 gives us some important information by revelation through Paul. It lets us know that Adam was not deceived. This is important. And the reason why I named this lesson Eve is because the fact that he was not deceived, and we're getting ready to deal with his motives behind doing what he did, goes to the heart of the matter of why he named her Eve. Now, remember, God did not name Eve Eve. Adam did. God gave the privilege, authority, and ability of naming all living creatures to Adam, because the planet, or planet Earth, was given to Adam to have dominion. And he was made first, and that aspect of dominion was given to the man. We see this even under the law, that when it came to naming the children, especially the male child, the one who would continue the bloodline of the man, it was the father's privilege and duty to name the male seed. And we see this under the law. Naming usually occurred on the eighth day, because under the law, you brought the male seed to the temple for the priesthood to perform circumcision. And while upon performing the circumcision on the male seed, the name would be given to the child. This is prophetic, because circumcision is a picture of the flesh, or the old man, being cut away. And we know that on a male's sexual organ, when the flesh is cut away, the head is revealed. And so the name was not given until circumcision was being performed, because it was a picture of the old man, the carnal man, the man of sin, the one with the sin nature, the one with the law of sin and death operating through its genes. That man is cut away. That man is removed, and the new man of the spirit is revealed. And more importantly, because circumcision reveals the head, more importantly, the head of Jesus Christ, the head of our life, is revealed. So what that means is you may be filled with God and Christ may live in you, but he is never revealed as long as you walk in and operate in the old man of the flesh. As long as people still only see you, you might be filled with Christ, but Christ is not living through you. So circumcision must be performed to reveal the head. That's another story. But name of the child usually occurred, well, under the law, it occurred the same day of circumcision. So we see glimpses of this even when God began to name people, like Abram and Sarai. God changed their name to Abraham and Sarah. As a footnote, all he did when he changed their name was added H. I believe that's the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which represents grace. All he did was added H to both of their names, and it became Abraham and Sarah. Because once circumcision is performed and the old man is removed, the new man and Christ in you is revealed, and that's when the grace of God is more so revealed in our lives. Also, Abram and Sarai name was not changed to Abraham and Sarah until God taught Abraham circumcision. That was at the age of 99. And once Abraham was circumcised, the seed of Isaac was released. So he was circumcised at 99. At 100 years old, Isaac was born. We know it takes 9 months to carry and give birth to a child. And so this is what occurred when God changed the names of Abram and Sarah. We know that God changed the name of, he changed Saul's name to Paul. And there was other people whose name was changed, but this is the power and purpose behind the name change. So now that we understand the privilege and authority that God gave Adam to name all living creatures, Adam was the one who named Eve. Now we know from Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, that when God originally made Adam and Eve, he called their name Adam. God did not give Eve a name. Now, I'll do a future teaching on the name Adam and what he was really naming. But I don't have time to fit that in the text today. So Adam was the one who named the woman Eve. Now, this is important because what I want to do is represent Adam to you. He'd been given a bad rap about what happened. And I want to reveal and show the true essence and nature and awesomeness that God's first man actually walked in. So Adam named his wife Eve. Now, let's look at the name Eve. In the Hebrew, it literally means life living or life giver. It's from a root word that means to tell, declare, show, make known, to breathe, or to live. So when he named her that, one of the meanings were that she is a life giver, that what she's able to do by her having the womb and having reproductive organs, she's the one that's going to allow, that's going to bring breath into the world through other living humans. So this is why we see in the Genesis text that he said that she's the mother of all living. God supernaturally created her from Adam's rib, but now Eve is now the gateway, the Stargate, if you would. She's the one that possessed the matrix, the only legal access and doorway into the earth. So that's the Hebrew insight behind the name Eve. But I want to dig a little deeper to really show you what was going on now that we know that Adam was not deceived. Eve was. Eve also means the day or period of time immediately before an event or occasion. Eve is the evening or day before a religious festival. So we know there's Christmas and Christmas Eve. Both days are considered a holiday. If you're getting time off your job for Christmas, you're usually going to get Christmas Eve also. If you're getting time off your job for New Year's, you're usually going to get New Year's Eve also, because the Eve is considered a holiday also. This is important and revelatory because when Adam named her Eve, he was literally prophesying. He wasn't just stating that she is the mother of all living. She's the life giver. He was more importantly stating that what we're getting ready to witness in the story of the first human marriage is just the Eve. As awesome and important and imperative as this story is, Adam was prophesying that this story of him and his wife and however it goes down, this is just the Eve, the day before the real holiday. Now, when Eve ate, we get the entire story of the conversation she had with the serpent. When she ate, she was literally deceived. She knew God's word. And when she ate from the forbidden tree, it was out of deception, manipulation, and she was tricked. But Adam was not. She ate out of pure disobedience, because the Bible says that she looked upon the fruit, you know, and believed the words of the serpent that it would make her like God, not even understanding she was already like God. But when Adam ate, it was a totally different motive and purpose behind it. He was not deceived. Remember, he had God's image and likeness. He was full of God's nature and personality. He was full of God's love and grace and mercy. He was full of the mind of God. He was a supreme being, and we've not fully understood that, because we know man all too much from the fall. He was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And those of us even who may be born again, we really have a microcosm understanding of the power and authority that we walk in this regenerated spirit. But Adam did not see and know the world as we do. We're trying to perceive the new man from the position of the old man. But Adam knew nothing about the old man. All he knew from the time that God breathed into him the breath of life is the awesomeness of the creation that he was. He had no limitations. We operate from using less than 10% of our brain capacity. Adam used 100%, had access to 100% of his brain capacity. That statement alone is unfathomable. But this is what the first man and woman operated in. But she allowed herself to be deceived. Now, to further prove this point, Paul shows us something in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. Okay, but before we get there, remember, right after, immediately after, God presented Eve to Adam, his words were, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Now listen to the prophecy. The same guy that named her Eve, and it means the day before a holiday. Listen to the prophecy. He's prophesying right after his wife is brought to him. And he was able to do this because he was full of the image and nature and power and personality and essence of God. His words right after was, "And shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one." Why would the first man state this immediately after meeting his wife? You must understand, he said this. Now, you may be thinking, what does that mean? If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, watch. Paul reiterates the prophecy that Adam gave. He said, "Shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one." Watch this. Paul said in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Did you know that that verse, "Shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife," was a mystery? Well, Paul said it was. Now we're getting ready to go there. The definition of mystery is something difficult or impossible to understand. Synonyms of mystery are puzzle, enigma, conundrum, riddle, secret, unsolved problem, or question mark. Paul literally stated that the statement that Adam gave immediately after the woman was presented to him for marriage, he stated that that was a mystery, that was a puzzle. See, we use it in messages and during wedding ceremonies, not even understanding that the entire time that was a secret, it was a riddle. It was an unsolved problem. It was a mystery of God. Let's look at some scriptures concerning things that are mysterious or hidden from us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to God, our Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law." Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter." Ephesians 1:19 reads, "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in him." Colossians 1:26 says, "That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints." Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for him. Look at verse 10. But it is revealed to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Well, one of the deep things of God was what happened in the garden and why Adam said what he said right after meeting Eve, which goes to the heart of why he named her Eve and why Adam did what he did. Because remember, Adam was not deceived. So his act had a different motive and purpose, unlike his wife. So what was it then? He did what he did, I believe, because he saw Jesus do it 4,000 years in the future. The first Adam was given a glimpse, and I believe it was given when things was going down at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was given a glimpse of what the second Adam would do for his wife 4,000 years in the future. When Christ gave his life for his wife, the difference was Adam was not the redeemer. He could not redeem his wife or mankind. That was only for the only begotten son. But Adam ate from the tree. Jesus would die on the tree. The first Adam ate the fruit of the tree, and fruit is what hangs on a tree. The second Adam of Jesus became the fruit of life as he hung on the tree of the cross. It was love, the love of his wife, that moved Adam to eat from the tree. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We know that for the love of his bride, Jesus was moved to face the wrath of the holiness of God for the sins of the world. Adam did not know sin, but was willing to become sin for his wife. He disobeyed God, but not out of rebellion and spite of his creator, but out of love and protection of his wife. He realized his marriage was just the eve, and there was coming the main event. There was coming the second or last Adam, who would do the same thing the first Adam did, but he wouldn't be disobeying God when he did it. He would be redeeming man. So what am I trying to say? The first marriage, even though we fail, I believe God made sure that our fall was not eternal, because when the first man ate from the tree, it was out of the love that he had for his wife. He knew. God said, the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Adam loved his woman so much. He said, in order to get to her, you got to go through me. And that is exactly how God created him for the wife. The problem was, he did what he did, and it was a disobedience to what God told him not to do. But he came from the right place, the right heart, the right source. It was the personality of God, because Jesus said himself, what greater love is there than for a man to give his life for a friend? We know that love never fails. We know that love covers a multitude of sins. Adam did what he had to do as her protector, her priest, her provider, and her prophet, more so in the prophetic. This is why when he saw her, I believe he saw the end He saw the fall. He saw what he needed to do. And the man was so awesome and so full of the nature and power and prophetic essence of God that he immediately began to prophesy. And we know this to be true because Paul said that that statement was a mystery. And look at this. Paul literally said that that statement was concerning Christ and the church, which means Adam knew what he was saying. Now, as I end, if that statement of a man leaving his mother and father and cleaving unto his wife was about Christ in the church, when was it fulfilled? Well, Adam didn't have a mother and father, but Jesus did. The first Adam didn't have a mother and father. The second Adam did. And it was on the cross of Calvary, in my conclusion, where Jesus looked down at Mary, his mother, and turned to John, and he said, "Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And the Bible says from that day forth, Mary went to live with John. Jesus knew he was getting ready to die for his bride. So in fulfilling the prophetic utterance of the first Adam, leaving his mother and father and cleaving unto his wife, he left his mother. He left her in the hands of his youngest disciple. And because he would become sin for us, and he knew that once he became sin for us, the Father would not be able to look upon him, he was willing to leave his father. This is why he yelled out once he took the judgment of sin, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The one who had never experienced not being in the presence in the bosom of his father was willing to be separated from God when he became sin for his bride. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. He left his mother and he left his father. When he died for his bride, the Roman soldiers opened up his side, the same side that Eve came from Adam. The side where the rib was located was opened up so the bride of Christ could cleave. He cleaved unto his wife. This is the revelation of God. This is why the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. And this is the power of Adam naming her Eve.